Well, of course, this is really the feast that celebrates the beginning point of not only Jesus' entrance into our universe, into the world. The celebration really is, it should be called the Feast of the Incarnation, because the Annunciation marks the point at which the Incarnation, the child, is to be conceived in Mary's womb, the divine child, who will, of course, become the Savior of the world. And, you know, as I look up, I mean, it's just so, you know, the very thought, you know, of God, as it were, entering into his own thought, or the second person of the Trinity entering into the entire thought of creation, and, of course, zeroing in a particular place and time on a particular womb of a particular woman named Mary, for the sake of saving us all, not just for the sake of showing us the way, but for the sake of sacrificing himself in an unconditional act of love to defeat Satan definitively and to bring us into the fullness of the kingdom. It's just mind-boggling how God's love is infinite, and how in this very act itself, infinite love is displayed. That great hymn, the Philippians hymn in chapter 2, right, that, you know, in the, you know, though he was in the form, which means the nature of God, he did not deem equality with God, right, that Greek word, ta isa enai theou, the to be equal to God, something to be held on to or grasped at, but rather emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, the nature of a man, being born in the likeness of man. Now, when you look at this, of course, what you see in that hymn is not just this incredible act, but this incredible love. What we celebrate today is an infinite act of love that happened in the world, that transformed the world forever. Right here, the infinite love is beginning. But of course, God goes further. He reveals, he lets Jesus grow up, and he reveals all of this to us, the revelation of Jesus about how love is the path to be followed. And then, of course, the culminating and ultimate sacrifice that we just celebrated on Passion Sunday, that results in his resurrection and our resurrection in light of his. I mean, again, it's just love compounded upon love, as John tells us in his prologue. It's just so hard to embrace and believe. And yet, of course, that was God's generosity. But there had to be the receiver's generosity too, Mary's generosity too. And it's not just her generosity, but I mean, what are the two big downfalls of human beings? Fear and hubris. Now imagine getting a revelation that says you are going to be the mother of the Son of the Most High God. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were the one being, I'd either be going, not me. I mean, I could easily have the fear reaction. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I don't want, do you know, this is too weird. Forget that. Or on the other hand, I'm going to be the mother of the Son of the Most High God. You know, wow, I must be really important, you know. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, my mother was proud enough of me as it was, you know, and I wasn't the Son of the Most High God. And I love my mother very much. But the point I'm trying to get to is this woman has neither. Let it be done to me according to your will. She's fearless. She's prideless. She's just gonna follow the will of God. And how she ever got to that degree of virtue, once again, the manifestation of love. Such a deep love that it could produce a trust that was so great there was no fear. And such a deep love that it would present a humility that would obviate all pride. It was this act of Mary too, this act of trust, this act of love, which was, of course, the reciprocal act of love, the greatest kind of love possible that induced a humility and induced a trust that overcame the fear and overcame the pride that would be the natural reaction of any human being. And of course, the moment she does, she has this act of love, the cycle is completed. God won't work through a human being without the consent of their will, and he has selected the one that has the love that's great enough to match his own divine love of bringing his son into the world. Love again, as John tells us, compounded upon love. And so we celebrate this, a feast of God, a feast of Jesus coming into the world, a feast of Mary receiving this gift in such perfection. And of course, it is therefore the feast of unconditional love, which defines not only the nature of God, but the destiny into which we are called in the very act of the incarnation that we celebrate today. Wow, that's a lot to think about, even for, you know, as I say, small minds like myself, very subject to fear and hubris. Amen.